Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson. I'm the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this edition of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. We are here at day four of NAMM Show 2017, January 22nd, with the last few episodes that we're doing as part of our Live from NAMM Show series. And I have a wonderful, inspiring music ensemble called The Accidentals that's joining us here in the group. Why don't you all just say hi?
Hello.
They're a trio, basically. They're all multiple instrumentalists. So let's go down and start. Just introduce yourself. Would you mind?
Sure. My name is Michael Dawes. I play the drums in the band, and I'll do backing vocals and sometimes acoustic guitar.
I'm Sav Beist. I'm one of the vocalists and writers in the band, and I also play violin, guitar, and bass.
And my name is Katie Larson, and I'm also a vocalist, writer, and play cello, guitar, and electric bass.
So let's get to some of the professional stuff, all right? Because I think there's some wonderful news. How long have you been together? How long have you been on the road? How long have you been performing? And then let's end with that really zinger great news you just developed with.
Yeah, Savannah and I, we have been playing music together for about 5.5 years now, or almost six. It feels so long. We met when we were 15 and 16 in our public high school orchestra program.
And yes, they are just about 20, 21, right? Mm-hmm. This average age is just south of 21?
Yeah.
Not quite 21.
I'm the last one to turn 21. I'll be 21 in March. So
okay,
we're almost there.
Okay.
But Savannah and I started playing music first with our violin and cello, and then adding guitar and kind of playing folk music for a while as a duo.
Now, was this in a public high school in Northern Michigan?
It was. We went to Traverse City West Senior High for a couple of years. That's where we met. And then eventually we transferred over to Interlochen Arts Academy, and Katie and I both graduated from there and hit the road full time for the next 2 years.
But it was a rank and file public school in Traverse City, Michigan.
Yeah, well, the great thing about Northern Michigan is that they have amazing arts programs in public schools. And so we are one of the few schools to have a full orchestra program. And in fifth grade, all the schools have the students choose an instrument and choose choir, band, or orchestra. And our school, public high school, actually invested in electric instruments the year that we were there, which was incredible.
Like, it just opened up everything.
Yeah, they had a cello, viola, and a couple of violins. And so Savannah and I were part of an alternative styles for string club that practiced after school, and we would mess around with the electric instruments. We had no idea what we were doing, but it was a blast.
We played like covers of Led Zeppelin and MGMT and Coldplay on these little electric orc instruments. It was a blast. We had a good time.
You met in the high school. Is that, you said sophomores or sophomores, juniors in high school?
I'm a year older than Katie. Okay. So at the time I was a junior.
Yeah. So you met in a regular high school orchestra, went on to Interlochen. And how about you, Michael?
I actually met Katie and Savannah at a music festival up in Northern Michigan. I was playing guitar at the time. They didn't know I played drums until about a year later. But we were all, the same age, and we were all playing music and had, similar interests, and we hit it off. So, yeah.
And how about your early music training? Did you start in school and in elementary school? Or?
Yeah. Well, I was playing the drums since I was like about 4 years old. So I kind of had that background. But then the school program that I was in, I went to the Northville Public Schools in Northville, Michigan. And they have an amazing choral and band program there. And I pretty much tried to do every music class that I could fit in. Like, I remember they took jazz band away as an after school thing and tried to make it during the day, and I dropped out of physics to take jazz band. So
well, Yes, I know other stories like that, yeah. But that's one. But you know, our podcast and our work for the NAMP Foundation is all about these early music opportunities. If you kind of unwind your very young lives, you're still very young, and then it's wonderful that you're having this great ride so early. If you hadn't just had good teaching, right? And someone to say, this is what it feels like. This is, you know, the very first time a violin was in your hand, or, right? You think about what if you weren't there that day? Or what if that school district decided it wasn't important? So it's great.
Yeah, it's definitely been huge for us. I remember the first time when we were kind of trying out all these instruments, I went into the school cafeteria and a teacher handed me a violin and said, play the rhythm, run, pony, run. And I did. And I was like, this is amazing. Like this, it just opened my mind. Like the fact that music is kind of a combination of all the sciences and all the physics that go into creating sound, and that how that reaches out kind of on an emotional and universal level. It just completely floored me. So I'm happy to be able to do it full time now with two people who are incredibly talented. Aww. It's just
Aww. Thank you. Well, we're really lucky too. We had a duo come into our class and lead a workshop. They're called the Moxie Strings, and they do electric cello and fiddle and play all sorts of alternative styles. And they like literally had us do an improv workshop and played afterwards with our school. And it just blew my mind because at the time I was very uncomfortable improvising and I was super shy on my instrument. And we've gotten the chance to like go back after we've graduated and lead a workshop with them and like arrange for our old orchestra. And like, it's just incredible that, you know, we had those people come in and show us that there are no limits to like what you can do with your instrument.
So you had good regular standard training, this enrichment from these artists that came in, and then you segued into Interlochen as juniors, seniors? Did you do the last 2 years of high school? Or?
I went there for my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm. I was there for my junior and senior year.
Then you had the 2 years, the 1 year together.
Yeah.
Right? And that was a very experimental year together. That was, you just took these ideas and just kept spinning them out? Was that?
It was the first time they'd ever had a singer-songwriter program. So they had it for the camp, but never the academy. And we kind of got recruited to be part of the first time in the first year. So
it was very free form, I would say, in that first year. Savannah can tell you she took like 3 private lessons. Like there weren't really a ton of rules. And my couple years, I was able to not just do the singer-songwriter thing, but take like a jazz improv workshop and take another alternative styles class for strings. And we were taking ecology classes and Russian literature classes. And those were really enriching our songwriting at the time too.
So then when did you hit the road? Were you still at Interlochen and you...
We
and how did you get out of class?
Oh, man. It was so hard.
Yeah, I mean,
hard.
who is we know Interlochen, if for those listeners who aren't aware, it is a residence academy. Once you're in the school year program, it's also summer camp, really well-known, fantastic training. And then it's by admission and by competitive admission into the academy, which is like a boarding school, right? It's like college for high schoolers. So, all right, so come on, how did you get the gigs together and leave campus and go out and start performing? Yeah,
well, we didn't really have the typical experience because we were day students as well. Because my parents both worked there.
Oh, so you were living.
So we were living at home and kind of going there back and forth.
Yeah, but the school program does go from 8 to 5 every day. So we would, and 5 o'clock is usually a typical load-in for a gig of ours. So we would have to leave and drive quickly over to our gigs and quickly, you know, just kind of set up. But we were also trying to record an album during that time. And it's hard to leave school and pursue a full-time career at the same time. So we would leave on Thanksgiving break and Christmas break and spring break and go record our album and try to tour a little bit and get that experience.
So did you start really locally, just sort of with, you know, within a 10-minute drive, 20-minute drive,
Absolutely.
Hour drive?
Mm-hmm.
Were your parents driving you? I mean, did you have?
Yeah, we're terrible drivers.
So
yeah.
you enlisted the parental units as roadies.
Actually, my parents, right. Both sets of our parents are musicians, so they really have the experience of being on the road full time and being musicians, but they're also really great marketers. My mom, Amber Beist, is an incredible marketing guru, and she's really done a lot for this band over the years. I think it's incredible to have somebody invested in you full time, because the only person who's really going to believe in you and work as hard as you. And if you have somebody who also is on your side for that and doesn't really have their own interest to sway that, it's amazing to have that kind of support. So our parents have been incredibly supportive of us in the past couple of years. Yeah, I don't know where we'd be without them.
You know, that's a wonderful shout out. I'll make sure they hear this podcast. That'll bring a tear to their eye, because parents do make a lot of sacrifices, and you know, they could be doing their own thing. There's a lot of, no doubt, a lot of creativity, but they saw your passion and they backed you up. Well, that is really cool. So then you graduated, right? You graduated,
graduated
and you got high school degrees, and then it's like, you know, go to a music school, or I think you did. I think you went for a year somewhere, right? I met one of your faculty members that you went, and they said you basically went and took over that music department.
Oh, no.
No, in terms of using all the equipment, studios. Yeah.
I went to my community college for a year of audio technology, came away with a certificate for that, and we hit the road full time after that. We did audition at a couple of music colleges just to see if that was the right path for us. We auditioned at Berklee College of Music, and Katie received a presidential scholarship to go there, which is a full-time 4-year scholarship. But at the same time, we were approached with a production deal, which was a huge opportunity for this band. We felt like it would help launch our career in that direction. So it was a pretty tough choice, I would say, to go between those options. Do we go into college and pursue this education and try to learn as much as we can before we get out there and use real life application? Or do we hit the road and see what we can do with what we have and try to develop our skill set in a full-time position? So
and so far, so good.
Hopefully, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you all can judge where you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing that the formal education can maybe come and fill in the gaps when you need them. But so, and when did Michael enter the scene?
Summer of 2014.
So just as things were starting to move too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now do you have a van with decals on it? Do you have a wrapped van with a logo? I mean, how do you travel as a group?
We have a GMC extended Savannah van, 2011. Ironically, it shares
Packed
Savannah's
to the
name.
Gills with the amps and gear and
pedals
and right.
We actually we've got the van. We try not to put decals on it because we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. But I think the trailer gives it away pretty well.
We have a trailer too.
A very tiny, very bad trailer full of our equipment.
Its fender fell off a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it looks pretty shabby. Yeah.
Yeah, you have rolls of duct tape ready for you.
Oh yeah.
Gaff tape is so important.
Great tool. Yeah. Touring musician.
So you book the gig. Somebody books the gigs. Are you booking, managing yourselves, or you've got that's come along too? You've got some management that books the gigs.
Yeah, we've been super lucky to be hands-on on our business since we were in high school. But over the past, you know, I'd say 2 or 3 years, we've kind of cultivated our team, and everything has come about pretty organically. Every person who's come into our lives, like, you know, it's kind of been for a reason. And now we have a booking agency, we have management, we have an awesome lawyer, we have business manager. So we've kind of got this nice team of people helping us do what we do, and we trust them all, and they're very powerful, awesome.
So does someone drive the van, or are you still driving the van yourself?
We travel in a group of 6 right now. So it's the 3 of us. We have a tour manager. We have a driver. His name is Jack. He's also a professional chef. And we also have a front of house sound engineer every night.
Wow, you guys are ramped up fast. And what's the big news I was alluding to earlier?
Well, we are finally announcing that we signed with Sony Masterworks.
Yep, we're releasing our next album with worldwide distribution with those guys. So
wow, and here we are together. I actually said to somebody, I said, we will remember this time when you were with us at the NAMM show.
Oh, no.
I mean, when you did that unplugged thing, I said this before I went online, they performed for us at an event yesterday with our college university program, Gen Next, and they ended it with the trio in the middle of the room with no amplification, and it was really special. It just showed your true kind of musicality and your great sense of sound. I mean, you really have a good sense of sound.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So you leave the NAMM show today, January 22nd. What's next? Where are you going next?
Well, we're going to go back on the road with our friend Martin Sexton. He's an amazing musician. He's been out there for a long time.
So you're fronting for a lot of big names now.
You know, we've opened for a couple people like Keller Williams and Martin, and Carbon Leaf is a great band. I'm wearing their shirt right now, actually.
And you're at South by Southwest with big, 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 kudos for being there, right?
We're working on our album, and then we're hoping to release a single in March. We'll be touring down to South by Southwest in 2017.
Oh,
it is
2017.
So here we are.
Wow, look back at that. There again. Right?
What year is it again?
I don't know. We've been on the road for everything. We're gone for the Cubs game, for the election, for Christmas. We were home for Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving, and Halloween. It's been a crazy, crazy time, but we're excited to get this album done.
You know, I haven't been in the business of music, the field of music, all my life. So many people aspire and say that they want to go out and develop their talents, and they want to have a singing career, and da, 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 da. You just got to go do it, right? You got to take the bumps, and you got to take the curves, and you're in a revving up kind of place here, and you just got to go with it, right? You can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it requires sacrifice. You know, at our event on Saturday morning, our grand rally, I opened up with my own kind of reflections on the La La Land movie, which is all the rage now. You should take a minute to take, you should stop on the road somewhere and try to see that, because the essence of the movie is, you said, you've got to give it your all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's that choice that one of the characters in the movie makes, that it's just undeniable. If you're going to go, you have to give it your all. And that's kind of right where you all are, right?
I think this year especially, we've decided to kind of dive in with this message of being bold. If you want to.
Yeah, definitely. Our motto is a no fear for 2017. You're, you know, just kind of being bold and confident sometimes in the face of fear. And it's something that we've struggled with. The last 2 years have definitely not been easy. You know, we've gone through bunch of ups and downs, and sometimes it feels like there are all these obstacles, but I can feel that the three of us have gotten a lot stronger in spite of it. And sometimes, you know, what we try to focus on too is, we did that acoustic piece at the end, and sometimes it's just strong just to show vulnerability too. So
do you struggle with physical tiredness? It's intense on the road, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like you long for your own bed with the old posters on the wall, right?
Yeah. I would compare it to any job that you take on, any college situation you take on, anything that you do in this life, there's a sacrifice. And we've definitely had our own sacrifices. We, you know, we tour full time. I have a little brother and he keeps growing, and it's hard to question, you know, are we doing the right thing here? Are we pursuing something selfishly, or are we advocating for a message? And even then, are we kind of missing out on these parts of our family's lives? Are we missing out on parts of our own lives? It's really difficult to ask yourself these questions. But I think one thing that everybody can take away from any sacrifice that they make in this world is that you don't take your time for granted, and you don't take anything for granted for that matter, because we're all incredibly lucky to be here and alive and to be pushing through adversity and to be growing stronger as a result. So what we do is incredible, and we're lucky to be doing it, and we're lucky to be doing it together. I think any one of us on our own would be facing a whole lot more, just adversity, but we're lucky to have each other.
You know, it's very sweet sitting with you, and it's obvious you have developed some skill for supporting each other, right? Was that something you had to kind of think through together? I mean, you spend a lot of time together, right? I mean, you really have to think through what, you know, that it's all right. What are the signals that I need my quiet time? I'm ready to talk. I need to, I got a little, right? I mean, you know, that it's okay to set boundaries so you can come together when the lights come up and you are all the best of each other, your best of yourselves, and can give the best of yourselves to each other, right?
Yeah, I think it's a necessity to kind of become a family when, you know, we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week mm-hmm. in a van next to each other. We eat breakfast together. We spend the day together. We sleep together. We everything. Like, we're always in each other's space. And so, you know, it's really important that we all have mutual respect for each other, and we all try to give each other space when we can, because we're all introverts, which that's
who
another
knew?
Challenge.
Well, it's yeah.
Performed extroversion. That's what we are.
Absolutely. I think that's true of a lot of creative people, right? There's a big internal life that needs to be, it just needs attention, right? It needs its own space. Well, I gave you, you know, I'm in New York, and I said I have a house, and when you're ready for a little rest and a homemade meal, I hope you feel at NAMM you have a family. that you can
enamel-y, right?
Enamel-y. But afterwards, we all get namthrax. We get really, it's that chest cold. You got a little bit in your voice today.
Yeah, a little crackly today, but you know, I'm working it. It's
because
good.
We're pretty much for 4 days, we're hugging and talking with the relationship. So we hope that you put NAM on your calendar and we'll put you on ours. We would really like to ride this ride with you and be a support to you in any way that we can. Because we love what we heard. And we want to just tell you you've got some fans. We're part of your fan base. Any final impressions of the NAM show before we sign off? You'd just like to share? This is your first NAM? Ooh, okay, so what are your impressions of the NAM show?
You
definitely need earplugs if you're going to Drum World. Earplugs.
Yes. I think what you said, though, is like, we've been to South Bys and...
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like... We've been to South By, this will be our third year going this year, but that first time, we read about how to prepare for it and what to do. And then until you really got there and you just kind of dove in, it's like you can prepare as much as you want and everything is going to go wrong and something's going to happen and, you're going to get sick or lose something. And I think doing that kind of boot camp at South by Southwest prepared us for a lot of other conventions that we've been to. Like we were at Americana Fest and now we're here at NAM. And so it's a little bit easier to navigate now that we've done a couple of conventions, but it's still you have to learn the building and, get around
and you
nicely.
And you need your team on the ground that is waiting to receive you,
One thing that's really amazing about NAM is that we've been sponsored a lot this year by a couple different companies like Roland Boss and Fender and Shure and Takamine and all those guys. All of our reps are here. And so it's like the one time where everybody from all over the country is in one spot and we can just go give them hugs and say hi and say thank you because they've David Benson from Takamine got a guitar of ours fixed in 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I came in and I was like, hey, my guitar is I've got all this fret buzz. And he's like, we'll take care of it. We got it. And and it's amazing.
You're in the right place.
There's definitely a give and take that I feel like needs to come in place because, we feel amazing that all these companies are supporting us. And so we want to help support them too. I think that's a really important part of it. And I love that, we can walk around this entire complex and building it. Everyone here is passionate about music. That's the one thing that, everyone here is invested in. And yeah.
And you guys are living the dream. You're working the dream and you're supporting and you're being healthy in the dream. Mm-hmm. So we'll be bookmarking you and following you and amplify your message. You amplify our music education message together. It's a lot of exciting ahead. So we thank the Accidentals. We didn't talk about how the name came to be, but they can find that on your website. What's your website? Give us all your handles where everybody can follow you. Where are you going to be debuting the record? Go for it.
It's www.theaccidentalsmusic.com is our website. And we also are on Facebook under The Accidentals. We're on Twitter under More Accidentals hashtag. We're on Instagram as The Accidentals Music. So check it all out. We're all there. It's fun. We try really hard to be funny and cool. So check it out.
Well, we thank the three of you and we wish you nothing but luck. And I think you're going to make your luck, which is really wonderful. Thank you for joining us with the Accidentals here, day 4 of Live from the NAM Show, January 22nd, 2017. Thank you for joining us for Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAM Foundation.
The NAM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAM. That's Mary L. NAMM.